Have you ever been facing a really difficult situation or relationship and someone will say, hey, you just need to have more faith? I'm going to tell you something. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches something very different about faith, and that's what we're going to learn today. Stay with me.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's our Bible teacher for this international discipleship ministry focused on helping Christians live like Christians. And in just a minute, he'll continue our new series, Trusting Jesus No Matter What. Today, Chip will further unpack how the Bible defines faith and identify the biggest barrier that often stops us from fully trusting Jesus. And be sure to stick around after this teaching as Chip shares some helpful application we can put into practice today. You won't want to miss it. If you're ready, here's Chip for the remainder of his talk, Building a Strong Foundation of Faith.
Biblical faith is believing in the character and the promises of God to the point of acting on them, whereby your obedience is the evidence that you actually believe, that you actually trust Him. Biblical faith is focused on the person of Jesus, the promises that He's made, and biblical faith is, this is what you have said, and because of who you are, and because of this specific promise that I'm holding on to, I'm willing to step out and take a risk. I'm willing to do what I cannot see. I'm willing to obey you, even though I'm very, very much afraid. Can I suggest that the number one enemy of biblical faith is fear? Fear of missing out, fear of being rejected. Fear that God won't show up. Fear that He's going to, if He asks you to take a step with your finances, that you won't have enough for you. Fear that if you confront someone that God has spoken to you about dealing with an issue of lovingly, kindly speaking the truth in love, it'll blow up the relationship. And so how that person views you is more important than what God has said to you. See, biblical faith requires courage. But Jesus said, I'm always with you. Jesus said, my strength will give you whatever you need in every situation. Jesus said, as you trust me and walk with me, I am your resource. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. The same power that raised me from the dead, Jesus would say, it lives in you. But the means of accessing the power and the grace of God to live in a way that makes a difference in your life and others is biblical faith. The biggest misconception is that you need more faith. That's what I always believed early in my life. I guess I just need more faith. I got to get more faith. But listen, Jesus said, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, it was very, very, very tiny, you can say to that mountain, be moved and be cast into the sea. So here's what I want you to get. There may be nothing more important than I'm going to say than what I'm going to say right now. Growing in your faith is not about getting more faith. Growing in your faith is about getting a clear view of the object of your faith. It's when you see Jesus clearly, that Jesus is all-knowing, all-powerful, just, kind, patient, understanding. When you grasp that Jesus is available, the power and the grace will come and will flood in your life the moment you turn to Him and take that step of faith. When you can begin to grasp who Jesus is much more accurately, not the Jesus of the narratives, right? It's very important that we learned about Jesus and that He was born and the Christmas stories and the miracles that He did. The Gospels give us a picture and a story and a life of Jesus who died and rose again and lived a perfect life. The narratives and the Jesus of the Gospels are absolutely critical. But what I want you to know that when we get to the epistles, and the church has been growing for about 30, 35 years, and then one case, about 60 years. And then the Spirit of God is going to speak to say to us through the apostles, He's risen, He's ascended into heaven, He's at the right hand of the Father. This is the Jesus that you need in the midst of conflict. This is the Jesus you need as your high priest and what he does and when and where and why. This is how Jesus accomplished his perfect life in dependence on the Father and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is how you can. And this is why Jesus came, what he's doing right now, and what you can expect in the future. Those are the things that we're going to learn. But here's what you must understand. Your concept of what it means to have faith or to trust God, if you're anything like me, or the people that I've had the privilege to pastor about the last 35 years, goes something like this. Okay, you ready? Okay. This is how we think of faith. It's sort of like the people that really have faith are like a spiritual Indiana Jones. And, you know, I'm on this side, right? And I could go all the way over. I need to get to this side over here. But, you know, it's a bridge. It's a rickety, rickety bridge. And, you know, of course, when someone takes a step, some of them are going to fall out. And you don't know if you can make it. And you look down and there's crocodiles or piranha. And it's very, very dangerous. But there's some people with great faith. There's a missionary or a pastor or someone that you know. And somehow they start taking these steps of faith and it's really, really scary. And they look down, but you know what? They're better than us. They have more faith than us. And they bravely, you know, like the few, the proud. My dad was a Marine, so I get this. They're willing to go where no one else will go. And they get to the other side. And what we do is this, is we look at those kind of people. As a kid growing up, I went to church. It wasn't a church that believed the Bible, but all the apostles were in stained glass. They weren't like real people. These are the superstars and the sort of pastors and leaders. They dress completely different than the rest of us. And they were here and I was here. And whoever it is that has that kind of faith, that's not me. That's not me. And so I'll just do the best I can. Let me give you the picture of biblical faith. So there was a youth pastor and he was up in the Michigan area and was taking his youth group on a retreat. And they were gonna ice skate and have a lot of fun, play a little hockey, just have a good time. And he wanted to make sure that it was a lake and he wanted to make sure it's frozen. And so, you know, he says, okay, students, stay back. And he takes a stick, right? He pounds it and pretty good here. And takes a stick and does it here and listen to the sound. It's thick, 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 and thick, thick, thick. And in his heart, he's thinking, like we all do when we're taking steps of faith, you know, the worst thing that could happen in the world, youth pastor leads youth out on ice. Ice breaks. Kids die. I mean, he's just thinking. And then he just knocks it again, knocks it again. And then as he does that, he hears this funny sound. It's a rumbling. It's a rumbling. And pretty soon he turns around and he looks and there's a huge truck. I mean, one of those big, big trucks, you know, like an 18-wheeler level on the back, and it's open and it's filled with logs. This truck is going across the frozen lake. How much faith would it require for him to say, okay, youth group, let's go? About the size of a mustard seed. Do you get the picture? You see, it's not how much faith you have. It's the object of your faith. And what I believe has happened over time is in our consumer context of Christianity, Jesus has gotten smaller and smaller and smaller. In fact, sometimes I think it's a little bit like what happens to us when we meet people, when they're children. But you know, like 20 years goes by. But in my mind, the picture I have in my mind is that 10-year-old that was on the couch or playing wiffle ball in the backyard. And so I get this notice about this little 10-year-old that's still in my mind, who now is a doctor and who's, you know, some sort of a physicist and studying, you know, how genes are changed and on the cutting edge. And it's just kind of like, whoa, because sometimes that stays in the back of our mind and that's our picture. And I'm sure glad that I, you know, got to read Bible stories and you know, Jesus with the little children coming and getting on his lap and some of those Bible stories about, you know, Jesus is so kind and so loving and here's the disciples. And it's sort of like this nice, pleasant, he sure wants to help me. And make no mistake, he does. The narratives and the Jesus of the Gospels are absolutely critical. And Jesus hasn't changed. But what I want you to know that when we get to the epistles, when you get to Colossians 1, we will study a Jesus who spoke the world into existence and holds it currently right now. And if he can hold all of that, he can hold whatever you're facing in your life. We'll go to Philippians 2 and we'll find a Jesus literally who descends into greatness and becomes this servant and high priest that is going before the Father for you and says, follow me the way I followed him, because as I humbled myself, the Father exalted me, and he wants to do that to you and in you. We're going to meet a Jesus that when we get to Hebrews chapter 1, we learn, how did all this happen? He not only spoke the world into existence, but he speaks now, and this precious, precious tool he's given us of the written word and the living word and how to use it and how to believe it is in such a way that we become instruments of God, like he was God's instrument, in ways that change us and change the world. And then finally, we'll get to Revelation chapter 1. And we will have a picture of this righteous, all-powerful judge who's going to make all things right, who's going to solve all the problems, way beyond social justice. It'll be biblical justice. It'll be a justice of someone who sees all things accurately, knows the hearts and the motives of all people, knows all things actual and possible, and is absolutely committed to bringing about what is good and what is right and restoring all things. I want to introduce you to this Jesus.
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram, and he'll be back to continue our series, Trusting Jesus No Matter What, in just a minute. But let me quickly tell you that we are more than a broadcast ministry. We're supporting pastors globally, developing helpful resources, and sharing the gospel with this next generation. So if you'd like to join us in these efforts, become a monthly partner by going to livingontheedge.org. And thanks for your support. Well, here again is Chip.
It's not that he's different from any Jesus that we've studied in the Gospels, but it's a picture and a snapshot that allows the object or the view that we have of him to get enlarged. It allows us to see him for who he is, not for how we remember him to be from all the stories that we've heard. And I would say this as humbly and kindly as I can. The Jesus that has been taught in many of our churches for many of the last 3 to 4 decades has been a Jesus that has not been worthy of worshiping. He's a Jesus that condescends. It's a Jesus that we've been told our agenda and our happiness and our fulfillment is what matters. And it's in a Jesus that we know what we believe by either what we experience or by what we feel, and that we have become the sovereign self and the center of the universe. And the Jesus that we have invited into our life is a conditional Jesus. If you make my life work out, if you make me happy, well, that will work. And if it works, great. If not, I'll try something or someone else. And that Jesus is not the Jesus of the New Testament. That's a Jesus that the young people of our world don't want to embrace. That's not a Jesus that's in the Bible. That's a Jesus that is unworthy of your full devotion. But I'll tell you this, when you get some glimpses of the Jesus of the epistles, who fills out the story of the Gospels, who allows us to see things and to grasp who he is, you will see a Jesus who's asking you to step out with your relationships and your finances and your gifts and your mission and your purpose and your family and your priorities and your singleness and your purity and to walk with him in holiness. And the one who's asking it will be like, you know, 50 feet of ice and a truck rolling behind you. It won't take a lot of faith, because he's faithful, he's true, he's just. He is currently the one and only sovereign King and Lord of the universe. And when you get that snapshot, when you get that view, and when it goes from your head into your heart, I am telling you, transformation happens. It's that Jesus that leads a 17-year-old in Syria to turn to his mother, say, Mom, I can't deny him. It's that Jesus who has led people to say, all that I am and all that I have is yours. I want to do life your way. It's that Jesus who has led people to say, this may not be popular, but in my medical profession, I can't be involved in that activity because it takes a life. And if I lose my job, I lose my job. My job is not more important. It's that Jesus who has led people to say, this is a tough time in my marriage, and yes, I'm struggling, and I'm not very happy, and it's a tough, tough season. But it's a Jesus who says, hang in there, endure. You can't change her, or maybe you can't change him, but let me change you. And I will tell you, every marriage goes through very predictable ups and downs, and he'll give you the grace and the power not to go around it, not to opt out, but to literally go through it. And as you go through it, he changes you. And there'll be some kids that will look back and say, my mom and dad stayed together. My mom and dad were authentic and real. I watched them on their knees. I caught them early in the morning before I went to school or when I got to go to the bathroom, and I saw them on their knees or in your word. It was my mom and dad who, this was the vibrant aspect, the core of our life. And there's times where I didn't understand it. But what I know is this, whatever they have, that's what I want. In fact, I'll close with a picture very personal and very close to me. Just because you're a pastor doesn't mean you don't have problems. And one of the biggest challenges that my wife and I ever had was a time when one of our sons went through a pretty predictable time of rebellion. And it was, he didn't want to believe in God. And, you know, his dad was a pastor. And looking back, there were a lot of pressures on him that I don't think I was very aware of. I also think, you know, if he and I were sitting here, he would say, you know, Dad, you didn't help a whole lot with some of your attitudes, and he would be exactly right. But I remember coming to a point where this just isn't working. And it wasn't that he got off into some big, terrible things. It was an attitude of rebellion that was destroying our family. And I remember having a really tough conversation with him about, you know, if you can't live in our house with very minimal rules, you don't have to, I can't tell you to believe in God or convince you, but then maybe it's time for you to move out and go your own way. And you get all the authority to do whatever you want, but you get all the responsibility. I said, but why don't you think about it for about 48 hours and before you make a decision? And tears streaming down my face. I'll never forget that moment in front of our house in the car with my son. And, you know, he decided to stay. God did an amazing thing. His life was so transformed. And interestingly now, he's a songwriter and produces music for the church. But I remember, you know, after making sure that it was really real, saying, son, what was it? What turned the corner for you? Listen very carefully. You know, I wanted to hear, Dad, your sermons were amazing. I didn't hear that. Or, you know, I just realized it was all my fault and I had a rebellious heart and I needed to get with the program. I didn't hear that. He said, Dad, and tears coming down his eyes, he said, you know, I've watched you and Mom. I've caught Mom early in the morning on her knees out there in front of the couch or with a little light on reading. And, you know, you're basically the same guy at church as you are here at home. You certainly don't have it all together. But he said, Dad, Jesus is so real to you and Mom. And I went in my bedroom for the last 40 hours and I said, Jesus, if you're really real, would you reveal yourself to me the way you have to my mom and dad? And he said, he did. And I want you to know that that wasn't our morality, that wasn't our spiritual activity. He saw biblical faith, imperfect, of course. So I'm gonna invite you to join me on a journey where we're going to build an unshakable faith as we look at four specific snapshots. We'll go to Colossians 1, Philippians 2, Hebrews chapter 1, and Revelation chapter 1. And here is my invitation. When you see the Jesus of the epistles and you allow that to fill in what you've learned from the Jesus of the gospels, and you watch it filter out some of the Jesus that we made up in our mind or that we hear in our culture, it will give you a solid rock faith to believe in. And you will be the kind of person that trusts Jesus no matter what. And you will build an unshakable faith. And you'll do what the Apostle Paul did. It says he fought the good fight. He ran the race. And what did he do? He kept the faith. That's my prayer for you, my prayer for me. And here's the deal. The world is very, very challenging right now. And God is doing miraculous things. It's people of faith that will be the ones that he'll use. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. But they who come to him must believe two things, that he actually exists, he's active and working in who he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I want you to see him accurately, to see what he's really like, and to experience the kind of reward that no amount of money or fame or popularity can ever give you. So, join me. It's going to be a great journey.
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram, and the message you just heard, Building a Strong Foundation of Faith, is from our series, Trusting Jesus No Matter What. Chip will join us in studio to share some insights from today's talk in just a minute. In many cities around the world, there are buildings specifically engineered to withstand severe disasters, like hurricanes and earthquakes. In this new 10-part series, Chip plays off that idea by helping us build an unshakable faith that can endure any challenge. Learn why the strength of our faith has nothing to do with our determination, but in getting an accurate view of God. Discover through various New Testament verses why we can completely trust in Jesus no matter what comes our way. You're not going to want to miss a part of this series. Well, Chip's joined me in studio now to talk about something that's been on his heart recently. Chip?
Thanks, Dave. Before I come back with some application for us to think about, you know, I get to travel a lot, meet people literally of all ages, young parents, kind of middle-aged people, empty nesters. And here's one thing I'm hearing from all of them. They are concerned about their children or they're concerned about their grandchildren. They're looking at the culture. They're looking at some changes, even in the church. They're looking at some of the fluidity about sexuality, morality, the evaporation of truth, some things that people tell me, this is crazy. What's happening to our country? And I do want to tell you, yes, I am concerned for my 12 grandchildren. I'm concerned for my adult children. But I want you to know that there's great hope. God is much at work. And that much at work requires us as parents, pastors, and grandparents to help young people really walk with God. I wish you could meet some of the young people that I know, that I see love God or true to Scripture, making a difference, that we at Living on the Edge have been committed to reaching, developing, and deploying the next generation to reach their own and to make a difference here and around the world. We've created brand new resources for parents, pastors, and grandparents, and we want you to know that we're going to continue to do that. But here's what I can tell you. We can't do this alone. I would invite you to join the movement at Living on the Edge to help us reach the next generation. And the most critical way you could do that is by becoming a monthly partner. As we create new resources, as we train these young people, as we work in partnerships with people that are doing amazing things, it requires a steady flow of resources. And knowing that you would be giving monthly would help us in ways beyond what you could ever imagine. So would you pray? Would you join the movement? I've not lost hope, but I'm in the battle. Here's the question. Will you join me?
Great encouragement, Chip. Our vision is to see a movement of Christians living like Christians for the glory of God and the good of all. We believe when we spiritually invest in this next generation, they will pass on their faith to their kids and grandkids. So let me encourage you to stand with us in this fight for today's youth by becoming a monthly partner. Visit livingontheedge.org or the Chip Ingram app to learn more. That's livingontheedge.org or the Chip Ingram app. Well, with that, let's get to Chip's application for this message.
As we wrap up today's broadcast, I shared a pretty personal story about one of my sons. And, you know, I'd have to say, if he and I were sitting together right now and you were in the room, I would have to say, you know, as I share that story, I'm so glad that his mom and I modeled a reality and a faith. And he would probably say, Dad, you ought to tell a little bit more of that story of how you pushed my buttons and made it so hard for me to walk with God. And he would be absolutely right. But the real point of that story for all of us is, moms and dads, grandparents, you know, morality is important. Church attendance is important. Reading the Bible is important. But all those things are means. I'm going to suggest to you that you will pass on religion and not faith. If you really long to see those around you walk with God, and maybe those who've even walked away from the faith, return to Him, it really won't be about your morality. And what Jesus wants more than anything else is not for you to be squeaky clean and do everything right and never have any problems and attend lots of religious services. I mean, if those things are a byproduct of a deep, passionate, intimate love for Him, fantastic. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people that think that's what it means to be a Christian. We often are deeply disturbed at our kids walking away from the Lord, and we want to blame the media or education or academia, and they certainly have played their role. But I believe the most important thing in any family and any relationship is faith is more caught than taught. And so here's my application. Would you pause today and say, Jesus, would you help me have an intimate, deeper love relationship with you? Not a performance, not a ought to, got to. Would you help me grasp how much you really love me? And would you help my heart and my life reveal a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who died in my place, rose from the dead? Those doctrines are so true. But His heart is for you. Enjoy Him. Walk with Him. And then share that with those you love.
Thanks, Chip. And let me just say, if you're looking for a practical way to deepen your relationship with God, let me encourage you to sign up for Daily Discipleship with Chip. Now, this is a free video resource we've created for you to study the Bible alongside Chip. For the entire course, you'll spend no more than 10 minutes with Chip in a particular passage of Scripture. Then he'll challenge you to study 10 more minutes on your own. It's so easy. You'll be blown away by how much you'll learn about God and His Word. So sign up for any of our daily discipleship sessions today by going to dailydiscipleship.com. App listeners, tap discipleship. Well, from all of us here, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.